Hello, everybody. This is Jack Canfield, and welcome to this month's Platinum Mastermind Group Inner Circle Expert Call. I'm very excited to have Vishan Lakhiani with me, and he's a really wonderful person, someone I've gotten to know well over the last, it's been about 6 months, and one of the, I think, real geniuses in his field. And I heard him first speak at the speaker-author networking group. And he talked about Web 3.0 and social networking and how to use the internet for marketing and sales and consciousness upliftment. And I just was very much taken by his knowledge and his care and his concern for people, his wanting to make a difference in the world and what he's committed his life to. And so I asked him to speak to the Transformational Leadership Council in our meeting in January. Once again, Vishan blew everyone away. And so it's, I said, well, we need to share him with Platinum. And so, Vishan, I really appreciate you coming with us. I'm going to read a little bit of his formal introduction from his website just to give you a sense of his background, and then we'll just jump into this. Vishan started his career with a Bachelor in Sciences in Computer and Electrical Engineering from the University of Michigan School of Engineering. He was recruited by Microsoft straight from university. But within 11 weeks, he realized that he was more captivated by entrepreneurship than by writing code. So he turned into becoming an entrepreneur at the age of 24. But his early ideas, as he writes, had a nasty habit of failing and leaving him broke. And when he realized that his handicap was sales and marketing, he quit his business to take a commission-only sales gig in San Francisco, realizing that's what he needed to develop his expertise in. And despite having zero experience up till then in sales, within 9 months, he was running the company's slick New York office. But in 2003, with the launch of Google AdWords, he grew fascinated with the possibilities of running a small business on the Internet. So he quit his job to turn into a bedroom entrepreneur. And armed with an astute understanding of marketing and technology, his first idea started in a small Manhattan apartment with just $500 of capital, turned profitable in the first month, and continued to grow and evolve. And Mind Valley, his business now, was born from that bedroom business, and life for Vishan has never been the same again. He's currently one of the world's leading experts in new media publishing and a much sought-after speaker and thought leader in the field of new media marketing. So, Vishan, welcome to the call.
Hi, Jack. It's great to be here.
And I know you got up early for this, so I really appreciate it. Calling from, where are you, Malaysia or Thailand? Where are you?
I am in Malaysia right now, and yes, I had to get up around 6:30, but honestly, if it wasn't for this call, my kid would have woken me up anyway.
I can understand that. Actually, I'll be over in Malaysia in April, doing some workshops there and in Thailand and Vietnam. And so I'll look forward.
That's wonderful. The weather will be perfect.
Yeah, maybe I'll get to see you when we're there. Who knows? Anyway, let's jump into the call here because everyone's eager to hear what you have to say rather than me introducing you. We're going to go through some questions I have, and Vishan, at any point, if you want to, you know, steer off this because you think something's more useful to be sharing with this group, go ahead. And at the end, we'd like to leave maybe 5-10 minutes for Q&A with the group, and if we get there faster, that's okay too. You know, you've been doing this social media marketing for a long time, and I know everyone today talks about marketing on Facebook and YouTube and, forget the other one that the kids all belong to, but MySpace. And what are some of the biggest mistakes people make when they start to use social media marketing? Maybe you could even step back a minute and just give us a paragraph or two about social media marketing in general, what it is and why it's so important, and then talk perhaps about what to avoid and what we can do to make it work.
Okay. Well, the first thing that people have to understand is that social media marketing is incredibly overhyped right now. You read about it everywhere. Even in the internet marketing field, it's one of the most sought-after topics and most talked-about topics on blogs and podcasts and so on. But in my opinion, it's a bunch of hype. And in fact, it's one of the most wasteful marketing efforts you can be going into unless you understand this critical point. It's about the psychology and not the technology. So remember this, psychology first, technology second. See, most people jump into social media marketing by attempting to try little tips and tricks that they hear about on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, on MySpace, and this is not the right way to go about it. You end up investing a ton of time for extremely little traffic. However, what I do is I work along what I call a psychological pattern of influence. And I use social media within this pattern of influence to create a desired outcome. Now, let me give you a specific example that might be suitable for almost for most of the businesses on this call. Now, Jack, if you could answer to me one thing that might help me be clearer and more specific in my example.
Sure.
The people listening in, are these primarily people who have online businesses, or is this all entrepreneurs out there, including offline entrepreneurs?
All entrepreneurs out there, and I would say maybe half have online website presences and half may not. We have everything
Perfect.
From real estate people to people that are selling books and consciousness stuff like you and I.
That's wonderful. That's perfect. So I'll use both online and offline examples.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me give you an example of what I mean by a pattern of influence. So my company is called Mind Valley, and we are located in Malaysia, and we are actually an American company. The reason we are based in Malaysia is because sometime in 2004, 2005, after I started Mind Valley, me and my business partner, he was European, I was Malaysian, and as we moved into Mind Valley, we had to give up our H-1 visas because we were working for other companies in America. Now, this meant we had to move back to either Asia or Europe. We picked Malaysia because, frankly, the beaches here are freaking gorgeous. I mean, you got to see it. So we moved to Malaysia, and we started Mind Valley over here, and immediately we had a problem. You see, our company provided marketing services to many American authors, and Asia was great for hiring programmers, but for marketers, we wanted Americans, North Americans, or Europeans, because that's where our market was. So we wanted to attract Americans and Europeans and Canadians to move to Malaysia and come and work for us. Now, this, let me tell you, is a tough thing to sell. One of the things we did use is social media marketing, and we used it so well that my company right now gets people who have jobs at Google, and they turn down Google to come to Malaysia and work for me, or even jobs at high-end consulting firms like McKinsey and Company, and they turn those down to come to Malaysia and work for me at a third of the salary they'd be getting in America. Now, how do we do this? Well, we use what is called a pattern of influence in social, and we use social media marketing. Now let me go into the specifics and tell you how this works. If any of you go to YouTube right now and type in my company's name, Mind Valley, MindValley, one word. YouTube, of course, is, along with Facebook, is one of the biggest social media websites out there. Now, when people apply to Mind Valley, we tell them that because we are doing a telephone interview and because company culture is very important to us, we require them to submit a YouTube cover letter. And then we go on to say, if you'd like to see examples of YouTube cover letters, please go to YouTube and type in Mind Valley. And then YouTube will give you, well, you will see dozens of videos. YouTube will give you an option to select the most recent video, so you can go right ahead and do that. But type in Mind Valley, look at the existing cover letters, and then create a cover letter that you think might best represent you. Okay, so that sounds simple enough. People go to YouTube, they create a cover letter. But when they get on YouTube and they type in Mind Valley, they don't just see Mind Valley cover letters from other applicants. What they also see is are videos that existing employees have created talking about what they love about being in Malaysia or what they love about Mind Valley or how much they are learning in Mind Valley. They also see testimonials from clients that work with Mind Valley, raving about the company, testimonials from people like Bob Proctor or even you, Jack. We have a testimonial of you out there.
Hmm.
So these people, these applicants, suddenly are inundated with what is called social proof. They see existing employees raving about the company. They see clients raving about the company. They see people raving about Malaysia. And this creates a bigger desire for them to apply to Mind Valley. And then they see other cover letters from dozens of other people competing for the same job. And this makes them put in more effort into their application process. Now, the end result is we create this intense desire to move to Malaysia, do something completely risky, completely different, and work for the company. But we don't do it by saying, hey, here are a bunch of videos on YouTube that tell you how great we are. Notice we do it in a very subtle way. We say, submit a cover letter, and we let them stumble upon these videos. They accidentally find it. But when they find it, they feel they just discovered a treasure trove of information on Malaysia and the company, something they discovered by themselves. And this creates it helps create a very desirable feeling in their minds towards the company. And so we just end up getting a ton of applicants through this process. Okay, so that's what I mean by using social media as within a pattern of influence to reach a desired outcome. In this example, I picked recruiting because it's something that many of us can relate to. And to see an example of this process, you can go to mindvalley.com/careers. This is our job page. And you can note how we effectively use YouTube videos to help boost the number of resumes and applicants that we get. So does that make sense, Jack?
Oh, it's totally brilliant. I love it. I've been doing what you said. I just went to your Mind Valley on YouTube, and there's a ton of stuff.
Right.
I'm writing down to-dos on my page here. You know, we need to start putting up testimonials on YouTube for our work at the very minimum.
Okay, and now I'd like to give another example.
Sure.
So this example actually came. Now let's talk about Twitter. Twitter is a website that techie people in marketing, many people in personal development have really plunged into. And it's basically what is called a microblogging platform. So Twitter is a way for lazy people to blog. Essentially, you go on Twitter and you write about what you're up to right now, what you're doing right now, but you're only allowed something like 240 characters. And so it's pretty much one sentence. But it gets really addictive because people don't have to write a blog post. So groups of people congregate on Twitter, and it's become really, really, really popular. Facebook, in fact, recently made an offer to buy Twitter for $400 million. Well, let me give you an example of a guy I know. He actually used to work for me. And this is also an offline business. Now, his name is Ken. And Ken and his fiance Laura were about to get married. Now Ken's from Malaysia, his fiance was from Zimbabwe. So here's the funny thing that happened. Ken had to fly to Zimbabwe to ask for her hand in marriage from her father. But her father was a little bit skeptical about Ken. So he decided to erect barriers against the marriage. So bringing up Zimbabwe tradition, he asked Ken to donate 8 cows to him as a dowry. So Ken had to literally come up with $10,000 to buy 8 cows as a dowry so he could marry his longtime fiance. And Ken was just starting out in business. $8,000, especially for someone living in Asia, was a lot of money. Now, Ken had just discovered Twitter, and he decided to experiment with Twitter as a way to raise this money. So Ken's business was copywriting. He specialized in email copywriting. So people out there who wanted, say, pre-written marketing pieces for email, direct response pieces for whatever business they had, whether it was a laundromat or it was a online business, they would hire Ken to write the emails. But Ken was just getting started, and he needed to build credibility. So Ken got on Twitter, and he started tweeting about fun topics and blog posts related to email copywriting. And what he would also do is get very proactive and start adding people as his friends on Twitter. Now, this built up his friend base. And, of course, as people saw him adding them as friends, they often started adding him as a friend or following him, as the phrase is known on Twitter. What he was able to pull off was in 3 weeks, he gained 1,000 friends. Now, 9 months later, he's up to 10,000, but he gained 1,000 friends in 3 weeks. And the friends he selected were people who were in business for themselves or were people whom he knew had online businesses. And as he started tweeting, what he found was that there was this bizarre psychological bond that he made with his friends or his followers. Ken said it's almost like telepathy. Twitter is the closest thing we have in the modern world to telepathy because you are able to figure out what's in someone's thoughts at that given moment in time. And the bond got so good that when he started blogging about his dowry and his business and his services, he started getting inundated with offers. In 3 weeks, he went from being a nobody to getting offers to speak on stage about marketing, offers to rewrite someone's marketing pieces, offers to do email copywriting. He even had a couple of job offers. But the end result was he raised his $10,000 in a span of 3 weeks. And if you wanted to, if you'd like to learn more about Kenneth's process, I made a video with Kenneth. And again, you can find this by going to YouTube and typing the keywords Twitter space dowry, Twitter dowry. And you'll be able to watch a short YouTube video on Kenneth, and he'll reveal his exact process. He calls it the five-step process to Twitter domination. He said this is another example of how someone jumped on social media and was able to leverage it to get a ton of clients for their business. But once again, if you look at what Kenneth did, and Kenneth explains this in the video, it was done within a pattern of influence. So I'm not going to tell you, get on Twitter or get on Facebook, because that's not going to work. You have to use it within an underlying strategy.
That's brilliant. I love it. Good. Eight cows. There you go. So as I'm looking at the questions we talked about earlier, the next one we had was, how is relationship marketing different from conventional forms of marketing? Can you talk about that?
Okay. If you look at all the examples I gave you, the example I used for hiring, the example Kenneth used to build his business, and there's a third example I would like you to take a look at. If you're in front of your computer, you can type this in right now. That was me. I leaned back a bit and bumped into a table. It's a website called The American Monk. T-H-E, American Monk, M-O-N-K. Now, when you go to this website, what you'll find is that this is a personal development website. But it's a little bit different from any other personal development websites out there. You'll notice there is no long copy and there's no headline, which is unusual. Because most people, when as they are doing this sort of marketing, they started emulating the old direct response marketers of the 80s and the 90s. You know, the people who would send you stuff in your mail. So if you look at many websites out there, you'll see it's a direct advance of direct response marketing. In other words, these websites have a headline, they have long copy. So relationship marketing is what we started evolving into. And it's where we break the pattern of direct response marketing. You see, direct response marketing used to work in the old internet, the internet of 2002 or 2003. You'd send people to a copy webpage. They would scroll all the way down. They would read a webpage that would be maybe 18 to 25 pages long. And then if you could convince them with your sharp bullet points and your amazing copy, they'd buy from you. And this has been the traditional way of internet marketing that people have been preaching for years and years and years, right up until the last 1 year when things are starting to evolve a bit. And that evolution is relationship marketing. So here's how relationship marketing works. If you look at the American Monk, you'll see that the aim of this website is actually to sell you a $150 to $300 meditation program. But nowhere on this website do you see copy for a meditation program. Instead, you see a gentle old man asking you to sign up to get free lessons. And if you sign up for this free lessons, you'll actually see how relationship marketing then kicks in. Here's what happens. As soon as you sign up, you get lesson one in your email. And lesson one is a friendly welcome from Bert, the maven or the personality behind the website. And he tells you how to get started with lesson one. And he tells you lesson two is coming tomorrow. And then the very next day, after getting lesson one, you'll get an email from Bert saying, hey, hope you like lesson one. I'd love for you to now comment on it on my blog. So we drive people to Bert's blog, where now on Bert's blog, they discover a whole different aspect of Bert's personality. They see pictures of him at his daughter's wedding. They see a birthday video of him. They also see other users within his email list commenting on his blog post and interacting with him. Now, here's the first relationship building thing that we have done. We've created interactivity. So the mailing list is no longer just receiving information from Bert. They are able to directly communicate back to Bert by leaving a comment on his blog post. This creates a tighter bond, and later on, as you'll see, it creates people who are more likely wanting to buy. Now, the next thing that we do, so what I just spoke about is blogs. using blogs as part of that arrangement. Blogs, of course, are another key form of social media. Now, the next thing we do is, as people are consuming Bird's lessons, every lesson starts with a little YouTube video introduction where I had filmed Bert giving an introduction to his lesson, and we put this on YouTube. Now, of course, as people are reading the lesson, these YouTube videos are getting more and more and more hits on YouTube. And so what happens is, through the YouTube community, other people start finding these videos, and other people start learning about Bert. And we've had some of these videos that, you know, they've gotten something like 50,000 views on YouTube. So again, it's just free publicity. So in this specific case, we are using YouTube to bring traffic into Bert's website. Now, the third thing we do is, as they're consuming the lessons, we use a service called Plaxo. Plaxo is a service that allows you to stay in contact with your friends. Once again, it's a Web 2.0 service. And we tell people, in this lesson, we're going to give you a free meditation audio, but we'll give you two more additional audios if you will share this lesson with your friend. And then they click a link, Plaxo comes up, and using Plaxo's technology, they can import their friends' names from their email account, whether it's Yahoo or Gmail or Hotmail. They click on send, and their friends now get an invite for Bert's website. So using this little viral mechanism, once again rooted in social media, we were able to build our mailing list from 18,000 to 50,000 in a span of just, I believe it was 4 weeks to 6 weeks. So that's huge. So what we've done over here is we have stayed away from the traditional direct response advertising method of building a website. And we've gone into a method that leverages YouTube, it leverages blogs, it leverages Plaxo. And later on, as you get further emails, you'll see it even leverages Facebook, where we invite you to become part of Bert's Facebook community. The end result is we went from being Bert went from being a personal development author who had a book and a meditation course that was selling $10,000 a month to selling $175,000 a month. So that is it's a massive improvement. It's almost a 20 times increase, $10,000 to $175,000. And we pulled this off in a mere 18 months. And the key idea here is we went from a direct response website to leveraging social media. And I use this example so often, I actually left Bert's direct response, traditional direct response website still up on the internet. You can see that. You can go to goldmanmethod.com. That's the first website, the early model. And you can go to the americanmonk.com, and you can see the difference. A business that does $120,000 a year versus a business that does $2.1 million a year in direct sales. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. That's a phenomenal, phenomenal difference.
Right.
I love it. You've talked about some of the strategies you've used with Bert. Is there anything else you want to talk about in terms of other social media strategies that you think are useful?
Yes. Now, really, there are tons of strategies out there. But the key thing I want you to realize is if people ask me for the best social media marketing next steps, the next steps they should do to really understand social media marketing, I would say buy the book Influence by Robert Cialdini. It's a $12 book, but it'll do wonders for your marketing. In the book Influence, Robert Cialdini, who's an Arizona professor of, I believe it was psychology, he talks about the research he's done in figuring out what makes the human mind tick, what makes people buy, what gets people to join the military, what gets people to vote for political leaders, what gets people to join cults. And he divides all of this into six areas of research, six triggers that influence the human mind to do something, whether for good or for bad. Now, of course, what we're talking about is influencing them for good. That's something I believe in. It's something I know everyone listening in believes in. But the book will talk about these six triggers, and the six triggers are: the first one is social proof. If everyone else is doing it, you want to do it too. So if you look at the American Monk blog, for example, blog.theamericanmonk.com. You don't have to go there if you can't find it, because I'll describe what you'll see. But if you go to any of my blogs, you'll see right on top in the upper right-hand corner, we have the number of subscribers. And we'll say something like 189,000 people subscribe to this blog. Now, this is a real number. Now, this tends to automatically create credibility in your blog post or the research that you put out. Or if you sign up for a mailing list, one of the first emails you'll get will say, thank you for signing up, dear first name, thank you for signing up. You've now joined the 55,000 other subscribers to my mailing list. Welcome on board. So this is social proof. And it's a critical component to social media strategy. One of the biggest advantages of social media is everybody can see everyone else involved, whether they're part of your Facebook group or they're watching your YouTube video. They can see the total number of other group users or your viewers. And it creates state and credibility for your product. Now, the second trigger is authority. If people see you as being an authority in your field, they are more likely to buy from you. So, of course, both of these go hand in hand. But let me give you an example of a guy who has used authority to take his business to $40 million in sales. And his name is Gary Vaynerchuk, and he's one of the best examples of a social media marketing genius I've come across. Now, Gary inherited his dad's wine store business in Long Island. Now, this is a typical Long Island store selling wine. And he also has a direct mail business where people can buy wine through by faxing in an order form or ordering through the Internet. Now, Gary is a Long Island kid. I think he must be 35 years old, bit of a foul mouth, very elaborate character. He is not the type of person you would think of as a wine connoisseur. He doesn't have a French accent. He doesn't look refined. He doesn't have peppered hair. He's a young kid, but he has become the foremost wine critic in the entire nation. And he did this using a social media strategy where every day or so he'd release a 5 to 10 minute video on wine appreciation. Now, you can see Gary's website and his videos by going to winelibrary.tv. Again, that's winelibrary.tv. Not .com, but .tv. Okay? And you'll see that his videos are rather, for example, in the most recent video, he's interviewing Kevin Rose, the founder of Dig. So he brings in minor celebrities, other .com and other .com owners, and he does these funny little skits about their favorite wine. Now, his videos got so immensely popular that he gets something like, when I saw him on stage recently where he was talking about his methodologies, he was getting something like 10,000 views for every video. 10,000 people watched the video. And he would get 2,000 emails as a result of every video. And the net result is the sales of his wine store went up to $40 million a year. A lot of that from people who would watch his videos, fall in love with his personality, and because of the trust and the bonding that they get from being able to see this crazy Long Island kid talk so emotionally and so passionately about wine, he would become their default choice for buying wine. And again, his business grew to $40 million in sales. Now, the numbers I'm giving you are 1 year ago when I saw him on stage in Orlando. Right now, it's probably way over $40 million. But here's a classic example of a guy who has a traditional bricks-and-mortar business who, because he got online and started using video to create a bond with the world out there, and then created a mechanism, this is really important, a mechanism where people who were not in Long Island could order from him through mail or through his website, he was able to take his business to celebrity status. He became a celebrity in the eyes of wine appreciators around the country. And therefore, many of them, when it comes to ordering wine, now go directly to Gary. Okay, so this is what we mean by authority. Gary turned himself into an authority in the wine industry. Now, there are other triggers. There are four additional triggers. And I'll touch on them briefly, and I'll show you how they relate to your greater social media strategy. But before I go on to these triggers, Jack, are there any additional questions you'd like to ask?
No, I think you're on a roll here, so keep going. Oh, I do have one little question.
Okay.
You mentioned .tv.
All right.
So if someone makes a video, how do you get it up on .tv?
Okay, well, .tv is just a domain. So anybody can go ahead and buy a .tv domain. But the domain is not very important. You could just as well use a .com. In fact, if you go to winelibrary.tv, I realize that you now get re-forwarded to tv.winelibrary.com. So I guess Gary decided to change his website and adopt a traditional .com approach. I would actually recommend that.
Okay, got it.
But if you want to get your videos online, one of the best services to use is YouTube. So YouTube is fantastic, and YouTube keeps adding new innovations that allow you to make your video better and better and better. One of the most recent innovations that is really, it's just amazing for marketers is you can now add links in your video. So at the end of the video, after talking about your product, you can have a little sign comes up that says, click here to visit my website. And with that one click, you'd get taken over to a specific website. So you can now have text show up in the video, and you can make that text clickable. Okay, YouTube is really wonderful for it. But let's talk about two other triggers which are really important. And, the first of that is commitment and consistency. Now, what this means is if you get someone to do something small, they're more likely to later do something bigger. In the field of marketing, here's how we use that. If you look at blog.theamericanmonk.com, or any online marketing blog, for example, you see that comments are very often encouraged. So now what we do with The American Monk is we give away free lessons. After every lesson, we ask you to go to a blog and leave a comment on what you thought about the lesson. So people will go to the blog, they'll write their little comment, they'll click submit, and their comment now shows on the blog. Now, what's really going on over here in the mind of the consumer is by leaving a little comment, they made a tiny commitment to create a bigger bond with The American Monk. And we've actually tracked this, and we found that when they leave a comment, later on it makes them more likely to become a buyer. Now, this is because of the commitment and consistency principle. When they leave a comment, in their mind, they tell themselves, I like this website. I like this guy, Bert Goldman. I maybe even like his lessons, and that's why I want to leave a positive comment. Now, when they've done this act, they've now instantly been transformed into a loyal follower, and the odds of them buying go up dramatically. When we started adding this commenting thing, we found that sales went up by around 20%, just by nature of, through the online lessons, asking people to get back to you and get some feedback. So sales from these online lessons went up significantly. So that's the third trigger, commitment and consistency. Get them to do something small, and you can later ask for something bigger. Now, the fourth trigger, and this is also very important, it's one of my favorite triggers, it's reciprocity. And it basically means if you do something nice for someone, they feel that they have to do something nice for you. And often that feeling is so intense that people cannot shake it off. What Bert Goldman does is, and what many other online entrepreneurs do, before you buy their product, they allow you to sign up for a free online course. So you get some lessons for free in email, or you get a free tutorial video on the website. But this is another trigger that creates reciprocity. You are more likely to buy from them after you've received something for free. So when I first started selling stuff online, I found that my sales went up, not 10%, not 20%, not 30%, but it went up by 100, sorry, not 100, it was just below 100. It went up by 96% when I started offering free lessons. So I was selling, I was a meditation teacher in New York. The part of my story Jack did not complete was that after sales, I decided I wanted to teach meditation. So I was a meditation instructor, and I was selling my meditation programs. And it was, let me tell you, it was tough. I lost a lot of money trying to get people into my classes. But I wrote a free online program on meditation. And I gave it away for free. And 200,000 people signed up to download my free meditation program that was delivered to them via email. And this was the reciprocity trigger. From that free program, I created a bond with people, and people were more likely to buy from me. From those 200,000 people who signed up, I ended up selling some $4 million worth of meditation products, home study courses or live seminar attendances. That was $4 million over the last, I don't teach meditation anymore, I'm a full-time business builder, but that was over the last 4 years, $4 million worth over the last 4 years. And really, the big trigger that I used there was reciprocity, giving away something really valuable for free. And then, you know, 1 or 2 days later saying, hey, I hope you appreciated this free stuff. Hope you can gauge the quality of my work. If you'd like to know more, here's a link to buy some of my real goods. Okay, so those were two additional triggers. Any questions, Jack, before I move on to the final two triggers?
No, I'm with you. It's all making good sense. So keep on going, Vision.
Okay, so once again, we've talked about four triggers. Social proof. If everyone's doing it, you got to do it too. Authority. If everybody considers you the guru, well, I might as well consider you the guru too. Reciprocity. Do something nice for someone, and they feel they need to repay the favor. And finally, commitment and consistency. Let them take a small step before asking for a bigger step or a bigger close. Okay, now the final two triggers are this. And again, very valuable as part of your social media strategy. The fifth trigger is called likability. Basically, you buy from people you like. Now, this is a trigger. This is another trigger that Gary Vaynerchuk, the wine guy, uses really well. If you look at his videos, you cannot help but thinking that this guy is awesome. He's out there to educate you for free. And because of his self-deprecating sense of humor, his quirky personality, you've got to really like Gary just as a human being for just taking the trouble to put himself out there. I mean, here's a guy who has a $40 million a year business. He's a celebrity. He gets on TV, but he's out there creating videos for people. And not only that, that personally responds to every email he gets. He was telling me that he gets something like 2,000 emails a day, and he responds to every single email. Now, I'm not saying that you should go out there and do that, but Gary does this because it builds up likability. And when people start liking him, as a human being, they're more likely to buy from him. So one of the great things about social media is it's a very quick way to get your audience or your customers to develop a liking for you. Some of the ways I do this with some of the gurus I work with is I get them to create a Facebook profile and a Facebook group, and I get them to invite people from their mailing list to join this Facebook group. So Bert, for example, has a Facebook group with something like, I believe, several thousand members. And on this group, Bert will share intimate details of his life, pictures of him and his kids, or pictures of him with his pet llama, pictures of him at his kids' weddings, talking about how proud he is of his children. And when you're able to open up your life to this degree, now I'm not saying share all intimate pictures. Of course, there's a line somewhere. But when you're able to do this and your audience, your buyers, your potential buyers see this, it creates a great degree of trust, and they're more likely to buy from you versus someone else out there. Okay, so the key idea over there is allowing people to become part of your Facebook network. Now, at this point, you may be thinking, whoa, I'm not sure if I'm ready to go there yet. I'm not ready, if you're like me, you have some pictures on Facebook that you probably don't want your customers to see. I mean, I have pictures that college buddies put up of me back in college, semi-lucid. And I wouldn't want my customers seeing that. But the cool thing about Facebook is Facebook has something called privacy settings. And you can create different groups for the people that you bring on as your friends. So I have a group where I add my family. I have a group where I add my old college buddies. I have a group where I add my employees. I have a group where I add my blog readers. I have a group where I add my customers. And a group where I add business contacts, like you, Jack. And for each, every time I upload a video or a picture on Facebook, I'm able to tell Facebook what group should have access to this picture and what group should not be able to see this picture. So let's say you upload a picture of you on vacation, and it's a really harmless picture. You can allow your customers to see it, your family to see it, your friend to see it. Now let's say you upload a picture that's slightly more intimate of you you and your kids on the beach, and for whatever reason you're in a swimsuit and you don't want your customers to see that. Now you can simply set your privacy profile so that your family can see it, your friends can see it, but your customers, your business contacts will not be allowed to see that picture. So Facebook solved the problem for you. But through Facebook, now I let a lot of my blog readers, a lot of my customers connect with me on Facebook. And let me tell you, these guys, they become my most loyal customers because I create a sense of bonding with them through the principle of likability. Okay, so you could use the video method to create likability. You could use Facebook. Now, the final trigger is, oh, I'm trying to remember that right now. I should have had this written down. Okay, here it is. The final trigger is scarcity. Now, what this means is if something is scarce, they're more likely to purchase it from you. Now, one of the ways we do this is, now, it's a little bit harder to do this using social media. For scarcity, we tend to use traditional direct response. This is where direct response still has some amazing things you can learn from. With scarcity, what we do is so let's say we have a promotion out there, and we promote, Bert has a new product out and he promotes it on his blog. One of the things he'll do is he will tell people, I'm only going to sell 1,000 of these units. And at the end of this 1,000 units, that's going to be the end of it, no more sales. And what we tend to find is that by doing that, we tend to sell out on that 1,000. And when we sell out on that 1,000, we actually stay true to our commitment. We will not sell more. But the next time Bert has a product or something to sell out, once again, he'll use that same strategy. He'll say, the last time I put something out, I sold out. And there were people who were emailing me, people leaving comments on the blog, and all of this is real. And they wanted it that, you know, I said, I was only going to release 1,000, and I only did release 1,000. And I'm probably going to sell out again. This time I'm going to raise the bar. Maybe I'm going to make 1,200 available. And because Bert can now say that he sold out, people expect that to happen again. And now he will sell out on his 1,200 units. And the next month, he'll repeat the same thing. He'll say, well, last few times I released one of my monthly giveaways, I sold out. This time I'm going to sell out again. But I'm going to raise the bar to 1,500. And so you can see the process of Bert builds credibility. He builds by using the principle of scarcity. So people now expect his products to sell out. So they tend to rush and buy it. And sure enough, every time he releases a new meditation CD, now it could even be a small CD set, just 4 CDs, he will sell $100,000 worth of this in the first 1 week because of the scarcity principle, because people know it's a limited release. So those are the 6 triggers, and I'll repeat them for you once again. There's the there's social proof, there's authority, there's likability, there's scarcity, there is commitment and consistency, and there's reciprocity. And once again, you can learn about these triggers in the book Influence by Robert Cialdini. You can pick it up from Amazon for under $12. So the first thing you need to understand about social media is social media is a means to relationship marketing. Relationship marketing is the new form of marketing on the Internet. It is the evolution of direct response marketing. And relationship marketing simply means rather than attempt to sell someone directly through long copy, you use blogs and Facebook and YouTube within an interactive email sequence to build a relationship with the audience before you go for the close. And to become successful in relationship marketing, the key thing you need to understand is that it is the psychology, not the technology, that truly matters. And Influence is a wonderful book to help you understand the psychology. Now, you can do this whether you own an online business like the American Monk, or you could even be a service provider like my friend Kenneth, who used Twitter to build up his business. You could have a specific series of classes that you do, and you want to get people into these classes, like me when I was a meditation instructor. Or you could even be the owner of an offline business like Gary Vaynerchuk, who sells wine in his wine shop in Long Island. And you can still use social media within the parameters I spoke about to build a massive audience for your products. So those were the key elements I wanted to put together. Any questions, Jack?
Well, a comment. You know, it's interesting. I've been sharing an example of a student of mine who started ripping up the real estate market in Silicon Valley at a time when other people weren't doing that well. And I'm seeing now what she was really doing was relationship marketing. She started offering free classes on how to buy your first home for single moms. And people would take the class. And then when it was time for them to buy a home, who were they going to use as a real estate agent? They were going to use her because they had a relationship. They trusted her. She had credibility. She was a guru. I mean, you know, she had done all the things you talked about. Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, relationship marketing is really, really, really powerful. Now, a lot of people out there make the mistake of buying into the social media marketing hype. But really, if you look at social media marketing, what people are doing is it's relationship marketing. And that's the key mistake that people make. And that's why people often waste so much time on social media strategies that really may not work or may not work as powerfully. But when they understand that what they are really doing is relationship marketing in its purest form, that's when they really start to see results.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I mean by you must go in there with a clear strategy that uses influence triggers to figure out what is it that you're trying to influence your subscriber or your buyer to take as their next action.
So, Vishen, I'm thinking at some point we should open this up to questions. Is there anything else
sure,
that is critical before we do that?
Nope. I think this is a good time to open it up to questions. I think you've covered almost everything, and I believe we have something like 10 minutes left, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about 11 minutes.
Okay.
So if you have a question, you can unmute. I don't know, Robert may have unmuted everybody already, but you can unmute yourself by hitting *6, I believe, and go ahead and just say your name and then ask Vishen any question you have, and he'll do his best to answer.
Vishen, this is Janice Stanfield. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay,
I'm sorry,
great.
What was your first name?
My name is Jana Stanfield.
Jana. Okay.
Yeah. And if you go to YouTube and look up my name, there are now lots and lots of videos that people have uploaded of times that they've spent with me. I'm a recording artist. I'm a performer. I also lead trips. I teach things. So lots of people who have been on trips with me have videos of me standing around in my swimsuit with no makeup, talking about songwriting, or they've taken my songs and they've done home videos to them. And
right.
When people see my name on YouTube, I'd really love for them to have the videos that I've put on there that are beautiful, not the ones of me standing around looking at a bat in my swimsuit. So how can I influence what things come up on YouTube so that the best ones come up and not somebody's home movies of my song?
Okay. Well, it's really, really, really easy. Now, I'm sorry, you said your name was Jana? The line's a bit unclear.
J-A-N-A. Stanfield. S-T-A-N-F-I-E-L-D.
Okay. Jana Stanfield. Okay, Jana. Now, the first thing you need to do is you need to have your own website. Preferably on the domain jennastanfield.com. Now, if you have your own website, make sure you have a blog on your website. And every time there's a YouTube video that you want to highlight with you in it, add it to your blog. Write a one line summary, and then from your blog, link to the YouTube video itself. Now, Google is extremely intelligent. Google understands that for Jana Stanfield, your blog is the most relevant piece of web content out there. And therefore, anything your blog links to with the keyword, here's Jenna Stanfield, will automatically go up in relevancy within Google's algorithm. So you can use your blog to highlight a video by simply linking to it, and that video will therefore show up more prominently on Google search, because as you know, YouTube videos now show up on Google search, and because it's showing up more prominently on Google search, more people are watching it, and therefore it will also now show up more prominently in YouTube. The other thing you want to make sure you do is that for all your videos, you tag it as Jenna Stanfield. Okay, so really, you have control over this. As long as you have a website or a blog which is coming up for your name, you can decide what other content out there you want to gift. You want to gift that magic touch and make that also popular for Jenna Stanfield. Does that make sense?
Yes, excellent. Thank you. No one has been able to solve this for me. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Anyone else with a question?
Okay.
This is Thomas Michaud.
Hey, Thomas.
Hi, Thomas. Can you hear me? Hi, Thomas.
Yes,
you are me. I'm wondering I'm wondering specifically about using MySpace. My little experience with MySpace is I get inundated with tons of spam, and I'm wondering if that's still a viable media to include in this type of marketing.
Okay, so here's the funny thing about MySpace, and I'm going to be very blunt. I think MySpace is on its way out. I believe MySpace is a dying website. A lot of people may disagree with me, but I'm just looking at the trends. More and more people are moving to Facebook. Facebook has dominated the market, and a lot of the other websites are just not taking off. Bebo, MySpace. Facebook is currently the largest social network in the world, and it's also the fastest growing social network in the world. And it has evolved to become a platform where hundreds, just like the iPhone, hundreds of thousands of apps are now written for Facebook. So I really tell people to not complicate their lives and to avoid wasting time on everything else, including MySpace, and to just focus on Facebook.
Excellent. Thank you. Just what I needed to hear.
Okay.
Anyone else with
anyone
questions?
Else?
I have a question. This is Kim. Thanks for your call. It's been really great. So when you say only focus on Facebook, does that mean that you're not an advocate of LinkedIn as well, or where does LinkedIn fit into the social media mix, if at all?
It's funny you ask, because the first time Jack saw me speak, I said something fairly controversial. I said LinkedIn is a waste of time. fewer and fewer people are going to be using it. And it's another service which I feel is going to die out. Because LinkedIn, I just believe that what they have is now a business model that is fairly obsolete. I do not know anyone using LinkedIn for social media. You see, LinkedIn, because of the way it's designed, does not really foster the creation of a relationship.
Mm.
Where else? Because it's very dry. It's not interactive. It's not, you cannot add videos of yourself. It's just, so I do not use LinkedIn in any of my social media marketing efforts at all.
Great. Thank you.
Anyone else with a question?
Not a question, but this is Shayla, and I just want to thank you very, very much. I'm actually really excited because a lot of what you're saying are things that my partner Alan and I are doing, and I can see out of what you said so much more richness that we can bring to it.
Wonderful, Shayla. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Anyone else with a question, including the dog? I just heard bark.
Yeah, the dogs are all on my side.
There you go. Oh,
those are my neighbors.
No problem.
You know, I do have one more question. This is Thomas again.
Uh-huh.
I just started using a service called iLike, which allows me to link to both YouTube, Facebook, and I guess it's too. But I feel like I'm not using it appropriately. Is it worth money using services like iLike to place ads on those different services?
So what you're really asking is it worthwhile to advertise on YouTube and Facebook?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I have not done any testing in terms of ads on YouTube or ads within videos. I use videos a lot, but I've not really tested ads within videos, so I cannot comment on that. But let me tell you about my experiences with Facebook advertising. You have to be very, very, very careful. You see, a lot of people think Facebook advertising is going to work for them magically, just like Google pay-per-click advertising works. But the thing is, on Facebook, people are there with a completely different mindset. On Google, people are actually looking for stuff. So if they go in and they type in, say, San Diego vacation, you're looking for information on a San Diego vacation. So if your ad shows up and your ad has good copy, they're likely to click on your ad. So an ad on Google can get a good click-through rate, anywhere from 1% to I've had ads get as much as a 7% click-through rate. But on Facebook, people don't type in San Diego vacation. They may be looking for their friends in San Diego, but if your ad shows up, it's of no relevance to them because they are not looking specifically for something. They're looking to catch up with their friends. So we found that Facebook advertising, even if people do click on your ads, they are not in a frame of mind where they are trying to obtain information or advice or buy something. And so the conversion rates are miserable. So we tested out a meditation product on Facebook. It didn't convert. We tested out a dating product. It did not convert. We even tested out a social networking product on Facebook, thinking that, you know, a social networking product would appeal to this audience. It did not work. Facebook advertising is risky, but I do know some guys who are using Facebook advertising successfully. Now, these are guys who run, they have magazines which are on the stands in Australia and Asia, a property magazine. And what they want is for people to recognize their brand. So what they want in traditional advertising is called eyeballs. So they buy ads on Facebook, but they make sure that the ads that they put up are really sucky ads, ads that people do not click on. So they hire a bad copywriter to write these ads. Now, because people are not clicking on the ads, they don't have to pay. But at the same time, Facebook is showing their ads. So they get free brand awareness. They get free eyeballs without having to pay for it. And people who then see their magazines in the news racks recognize that brand because they're like, whoa, I've seen this somewhere. I've seen this somewhere. And they may not necessarily remember where they saw it, but because of that brand awareness, their magazines are able to outsell the competition. And because the ads suck and people don't click on them, they don't have to pay. So that's one of the most fascinating examples I've seen with using Facebook advertising.
That is very fascinating.
Thank you.
I think we might have time for one more question. If anyone has one, then we're going to sign off.
Jack, this was Robert. I was just going to ask Vishen if he has any other websites that people could go to that he feels like are really good examples. Like you gave us the example of theamericanmonk.com. Are there any other examples people could go to take a look at what you would consider to be a good example of...
Absolutely. Absolutely. The king of relationship marketing, the guy I believe I've learned the most from, is a marketer by the name of Frank Kern, F-R-A-N-K, space Kern, K-E-R-N. Now, Frank Kern... he is a master at leveraging video and relationship and bonding and trust to sell his products. And he has done some amazing stuff on the Internet. But the interesting thing about Frank is you can never find his direct response copy page because it doesn't exist. If you type in Frank Kern, you'll probably find his blog. And through his blog, you can sign up for, you can see a couple of free videos. Yeah, here it is. It's masscontrolsite.com blog. masscontrolsite.com/blog. So through his blog, you can watch his videos. And from these videos, he builds a bond with you. And he will get you to get on his mailing list where he will teach you the art of relationship marketing. And you will end up buying from him. He just knows how to do his stuff. But there is no sales page. You will not find a sales page. People see the video, and from the video, they directly go and buy his products. It's really amazing what he does. So Franklin's a great guy to learn from. And like many other experts in relationship marketing, even if you decide not to spend $2,000 buying his stuff, and I spent $2,000 because I think his stuff is worth it. I don't get any affiliate fees for this, so please understand this is not an affiliate recommendation. Even if you don't buy his $2,000 marketing course, you will still learn a ton of relationship marketing tips and tricks from his blog, because he has tons of free stuff out there.
Well, thank you, Vishen, and go ahead, Vishen.
Oh, I was just going to say, just to give you an idea of how powerful Frank is, the last product he launched sold, I believe, $5 million in 24 hours. Sold out completely.
Wow.
So you mentioned Frank Kern. You mentioned AmericanMonk.com. What was
TheAmericanMonk.com.
TheAmericanMonk.com,
right.
And what
and
was
the wine? And the wine guy is WineLibrary.com.
Any others you'd recommend?
No. Those three are great examples for relationship marketing.
Okay.
All right. Well, so that you can go and yell at the dogs and feed your child and do all those other things.
Thank you, Jack.
And Vishen, I really appreciate this. This was wonderful information. I actually made 8 to-dos that I'm going to do as a result of this call, so it was useful for me.
Wonderful. Glad you guys liked it.
Thank you very much. And for the rest of you, we'll see you on the next call. And for those of you listening on your iPodcast, sorry you weren't here, but we'll catch you next time. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Vishen. Thanks.
Bye.
Yep.